You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Zach Tom Rule bonus episode. That's what she said. Boom. Roasted.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_adada. Well, probably don't need to do the grand proclamation that it's draft day because we've already done that with the first episode. This is going to be the Zach Tom Rule bonus episode. That's what she said. Boom roasted. Oh, it just hit me. I should make that the title. And that's what we'll do. All right. As I said in the earlier episode today, another thing that has to be done, cannot endure the draft until this is done. We've got to dig through some SIS data and see if we can find a couple hidden gems. If this takes 5 minutes or 50 minutes, I don't really care. It's a bonus episode. I do whatever I want. Very important, though. Number one, make sure that you fill out the NFL draft day game form thing. It's very simply just filling out who you think the Packers are going to draft and when. And after we score it, if you happen to have the highest or even second highest score, you're going to get a $125 gift card to Fogo, the Brazilian steakhouse. Absolutely unbelievable food. If you have not been to a Brazilian steakhouse, this is going to be maybe the greatest experience at a restaurant you've ever had. Also, do not forget, if you want to check it out, if you're making a reservation, you can put in FOGO44, and you're going to be able to get the meal for $44, which is pretty wild, in my opinion. Next thing, make sure you are subscribed to the Packernet Podcast YouTube channel. I was, as I mentioned before, I was pretty bummed that it wasn't going to be the same crew as last year, but I talked to Clayton, and we're just going to link our two streams together so that we can pretty much do what we did last year and everybody gets to hang out again. So that should be fun. So if you can't find that stream with as many places as it's being streamed to, I don't know how to help you. But definitely come hang out with us. Should be a good time. But all right, let's get into this, shall we? All right, why don't we start with quarterback? There's actually nothing massively interesting here, at least from my perspective as I go through all this, partially because it's quarterback and I don't super care. Interestingly enough, though, the top quarterbacks are the top quarterbacks. It's just the order that might be kind of interesting. So the top quarterbacks, by that I mean Caleb Williams, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, right? Those guys. I'm including Penix and Bo Nix because, again, the order, kind of interesting. Here's what I'll say based on this. Sometimes, you know, this guy's at the top, sometimes this guy's at the top. The one guy that is consistently at the bottom of the pile, Drake May. I am really starting based on some of the stuff I'm looking at, to hope. My whole thing before was like, I kind of like J.J. McCarthy, but I'm just going based off of what everybody else is saying about J.J. McCarthy and saying that I hope that, you know, that's who the Vikings end up picking up. I'm kind of to the point now that I hope they pay way more to come up and get Drake May, because I don't know that he's going to be very good. So let me just give you a couple things here. So they've got a bunch of different metrics. One of them is total points. Now, this is a cumulative thing, but let's just start with that. In order, this is for all 20 quarterbacks that they have through the draft. It is Michael Penix, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, and then Drake May. Then they have a thing that is what they call a rating, which is points per play on a scale from 50 to, I think, 100 or 99 or whatever. 99 is the highest you're going to get. So the guys that are 99 are Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy, and Jaden Daniels. Michael Penix is a 98. Drake May is a 96. This is the total points rating for passing. There are four guys that are a 99. All of them are considered first-round guys, with maybe the exception of Bo Nix, who I freaking told you Bo Nix is good, man. Don't even listen. Penix is a 98, so he's right there. And then a 96 for Drake May. Then you've got the total rating, which is passing, rushing, whatever. 99 for Nix, Williams, McCarthy, Daniels. Michael Penix goes down to a 97. Drake May still a 96. How about adjusted net yards per attempt? Pretty solid metric for quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels, number one, 12.4. Bo Nix, 11. Then Caleb Williams, 8.9. Michael Penix, 8.9. Then J.J. McCarthy, 8.8. So again, all the top guys are the top guys. But number six is not Drake May. It's Jordan Travis out of FSU. It's not number seven. That's Sam Hartman out of Notre Dame. Then it's Michael Pratt out of Tulane. Then it's Drake May. Completion percentage over expected. I'll be honest, the thing that shocks me more than anything is that the top guys remain above everybody else. You would think randomly, you know, Joe Milton or Jordan Travis or somebody would be the top guy or whatever, but it's consistently. So completion percentage over expected, 9% for Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels, 8% for J.J. McCarthy, 7% for Caleb Williams, and then number five is Michael Penix at 6%. Then at 5%, it's Michael Pratt and Spencer Rattler. And then at 4% is Drake May. He's eighth. He's the only one that is not in consistently with the top group. Now, when you get to on-target percentage, that's when it starts to get a little weird. Bo Nix, still the top guy. Then you got Spencer Rattler, da-da-da-da. Jaden Daniels is 4. J.J. McCarthy is 6. Caleb Williams is 10. Michael Penix is 15. Drake May is 19th out of 20 for on-target percentage. 19 out of 20, 67% of his passes are on target. What about catchable, which is a lower bar, right? It's not on target, but it's still a catchable ball. Bo Nix is the top guy again, 91%. Jaden Daniels is 4. Caleb Williams is 5. J.J. McCarthy is 6. Michael Penix is down here at 12. Drake May, 15th. Again, the lowest. What about EPA per dropback? Jaden Daniels, number 1. Then Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, then Jordan Travis out of FSU, then Michael Penix, then Caleb Williams, then Drake May. Dead last, again. I mean, of the top group. Then they've got IQR, which is a passer rating, but it's SIS's proprietary passer rating. Bottom line, higher numbers are better. Okay, overall, Jaden Daniels, number one, then it's Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix, then Michael Pratt, then Drake May. He's not in the top group. He's not in it, right? You get the top guys all together again. Then you got Michael Pratt. Then you got Drake May. How about under pressure? Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, then Joe Milton, Jake Plummer, Michael Pratt, then J.J. McCarthy, then Drake May. Michael Penix is down at 12, so he's actually lower. But again, Drake May, not up at the top with the rest of the boys. Okay, but what about if there's no pressure? Well, then it's Jaden Daniels, then Bo Nix, then Caleb Williams, then Michael Penix, then J.J. McCarthy, then Drake May at the bottom of the list. What about in man coverage? Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and then it's Carter Bradley, J.J. McCarthy is 9, And then Drake May is 11. Out of the top guys, he is dead last again. What about against zone coverage? Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, JJ McCarthy, and then Drake May. He's ahead of Michael Penix. Penix is maybe the only guy you could argue would be like a lesser selection, which I don't disagree with. I was not a big Penix fan. But just based on the data here, Penix is a better option than Drake May. Let's speed it up a little bit. How about on short passes? Drake May is 15th out of 20. He's the lowest of the top group. How about passing middle of the field? Drake May is 7th. He is ahead of Michael Penix and Caleb Williams. That's it. Caleb is 8. But Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, all higher. And then deep passing. Jaden, JJ, Caleb, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, and then Drake May. How about rushing for fun? Yards per attempt. Jaden Daniels, then JJ McCarthy, then Drake May, who's actually 6th. He is ahead of Caleb Williams and Bo Nix. And Michael Penix, who's down at 17. But for crying out loud, man, can we at least get something in our favor here? EPA, rush EPA. This is the best I've seen of him. He's 2nd behind Jaden Daniels. Wow. They've actually got a pretty interesting metric I've never seen before. Throw airtime plus or minus. Basically, it is looking at the distance of the throw and then taking into account the footwork at that time of his release and looking at how long it took to get there. In other words, the shorter the time, the smaller the number, the better, because it meant more velocity on the throw. JJ McCarthy is 1. Dude's got a pretty strong arm. Then 4th is Jaden Daniels. Then 7th is Drake May. I mean, it's not even close how much I want them to take Drake May, partially because JJ is actually maybe one of the best quarterbacks here. And then there's snap to throw time, which is obviously we're talking about the amount of time it takes between when you got the ball snapped to you and when you got the ball out of your hand. Lesser time is better. Bo Nix is 1. Penix is 6. JJ is 10. Jaden Daniels is 14th. Drake May is 17th. Caleb Williams dead last, probably not surprising, 20th. So yeah, folks, go ahead and let Drake May go to the Vikings. I hope they pay so much money and so much capital to get that guy. As for running back, this one's going to be real quick because there is one name. So the quarterback thing wasn't necessarily a Zach Tommy thing. Could go in a lot of different directions, but really the goal of this is to just go through all the stats and find a guy whose name keeps popping up. As far as the big names go, Audric Estime is the one that seems to kind of hover toward the top more often than not. Of the lesser known names, or just of anybody, and there are 27 running backs listed here, the guy that continually keeps popping up is a running back who is currently consensus 256. He is 6'1", 220 pounds, so that's great. 22 years old, which is perfectly fine. He plays for a very big program. He had an 87 PFF grade, an 89 rushing grade, 88.9 fumble grade, so he doesn't put the ball on the ground. In 2022, similarly, he had an 85 grade, 85 rushing grade, and his RAS is an 8.07. I have no idea why he has not gotten more notoriety. Let's go through, before we get to the name here, let's go through some of the statistics that I'm looking at. In terms of total points, which is a cumulative thing, but still, for a guy who has significantly less snaps, just for reference, Bucky Irving is 2nd in total points with 570 snaps. He has 253. He's just one spot behind him. He is 3rd in total points rushing. In terms of their rush rating, which is the rating from 50 to 99, he is 2 behind Keelan Robinson. Now, Keelan Robinson is like 1 across all these categories, but he hasn't played. He played 64 snaps. I wish I could remove him from the list, but I can't. If you're interested in Keelan Robinson out of Texas, go for it. But the sample size is too small for me. He is 1 behind Keelan Robinson as the highest rated rusher. Rating overall, which is receiving, rushing, everything else, he is 1 with 96. Yards per attempt, he ranks 4th. Yards after contact per attempt, he ranks 2nd behind only Marshawn Lloyd. He is tied for the 5th most touchdowns. He is number three in EPA. He is number one by a large margin, not including Keelan Robinson. Again, too small of a sample size. Number one by a pretty large margin in EPA per attempt. Number two in boom percentage. Tied for number one in bust percentage, meaning the lowest amount of bust plays. The receiving doesn't seem super top tier. He's not really at the top of any of the receiving lists. But you look at some of the positive percentages. Overall positive plays, he's third, behind only Bucky Irving and Keelan Robinson, who again doesn't count. On inside runs, he's number two, behind only Dylan Johnson of Washington. On zone runs, he is number three, behind Audric Estime and Jawar Jordan. On gap runs, he is number four, behind, three, because Keelan Robinson doesn't count, behind Guerrero and Bucky Irving. Fumbles per touch, he's tied for number one with zero, fumbles per 100 touches. Broken tackles per 100 touch, he is second behind Marshawn Lloyd. Who is this great mystery man? His name is Kendall Milton, running back out of Georgia. The only real negatives I can see, number one, is again, the receiving isn't necessarily a prominent part of what he does. And number two, even though his RAS was quite good, it was all based on his size and explosion. The speed was okay. He runs a 4.62, which is not fast, and I'm sure that's going to plummet people through the floor. But again, I think we overweight things like 40-yard dash time. And his short shuttle was a 4.38, which is a 4.32 out of 10. Now, is it possible that it's just a massive Georgia offensive line that's making him look good? Maybe. I don't know. That's not really, we're getting too deep into it now. I'm just giving you the name. Do with that what you will. All right, why don't we take a break? We'll come back and rip through some more of these positions. We'll be right back. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so for wide receiver, it's going to be a little bit more like quarterback in that there seems to be a recurring group that sort of keeps showing up here, and it's probably not the group that you would necessarily expect. There's just a couple recurring names. So first of all, let's just skip to the total rating. This is the 50 to 99 thing. This is just total across everything that they do, which is mostly receiving. One of the names that is very much a recurring name that a lot of people are going to love because his name has just exploded is Ladd McConkey. He is at the top or near the top of a lot of these lists. Of the people that are at 99, though, Troy Franklin, Roman Wilson, Marvin Harrison, Malik Washington, Malik Nabers, Ladd McConkey, and Brennan Rice. Not Roma Dunze, not Brian Thomas Jr., and Xavier Worthy is dead last. Continuing on, though, as we see if some of these names are repeating. On-target catch percentage. So, ball is right on the money. How often do you catch it? The only 99% is Terrell Vaughn. 98% is Taj Washington. Now, Taj is a smaller guy, probably not going to be a Packer, but it's worth noting he is at the top or near the top of a lot of these lists, along with Ladd McConkey. After that is Jermaine Burton out of Alabama. Catchable catch percentage. In other words, the ball is good enough, and you should catch it. How often do you? Ladd McConkey is tied for number one. He's tied with Marcus Rosemead Jacksaint, also out of Georgia, and Terrell Vaughn. Yards per route run. Number one is Malik Nabers. Number two, Ladd McConkey. Number three, Taj Washington. And then number four, Troy Franklin, another name that has popped up again. So those are Malik Nabers is 3.9. The other three guys are at 3.7. Again, all the big name wide receivers that you're well aware of are on this list. Marvin Harrison is the next one down. Roma Dunze is 10th. Brian Thomas is 16th. Unique routes, which is a really interesting statistic because, you know, there's a lot of talk about like, well, they had a limited route tree or whatever. How many unique routes did they run? Jacob Cowing is number one at 44. And then again, Terrell Vaughn, another name that seems to be recurring, 42. Yards after the catch per reception. Number two on the list, Taj Washington. Broken plus missed tackle rate, third place. Ladd McConkey, fourth place, Taj Washington. Yards per target, Taj Washington number one, Ladd McConkey number three. EPA per target, Ladd McConkey number one, Brennan Rice number two, Taj Washington number three. Positive play percentage while in man coverage, Troy Franklin number one, another name that's relatively common, Brennan Rice number two, Ladd McConkey number four. Positive versus zone is about the only one I've seen that has some list that seems kind of close to what you might expect. Malik Nabers number one, Brian Thomas number two, Roman Wilson number three, Ladd McConkey number four. As far as I can tell, McConkey is the only one who is in the top five of positive play percentage in both man and zone. So again, Taj Washington, probably not a Packer. Ladd McConkey, it's worth discussing. Again, I would love to have found a deeper dive, a deeper cut than that, but I think that's perfectly adequate, especially considering how good these guys are. And again, how many times did I mention Marvin Harrison? I'm not saying he's better than Marvin Harrison. I'm just saying it's worth mentioning when even a second round guy, because there's got to be 15 guys in the first two rounds that are wide receivers, to have one or two of them consistently pop up, that's pretty impressive. And then again, Brennan Rice, Taj Washington, also worth mentioning. Maybe a little bit Troy Franklin as well. All right, offensive tackle is next. There's a couple names worth talking about here. So first of all, if we don't talk about, for example, the top guys, Amarius Mims dominates a ton of categories. If we draft Mims today, we can come back and revisit that. Let's see, who else? Joe Alt is at the top several times. Even Jordan Morgan, I think, is a relatively early potential first-round guy that doesn't necessarily need to be talked about, Fuaga, etc. If we eliminate those names, the guy that shows up at the top most often, the top five, the most, maybe even including these guys, is Delmar Glaze out of Maryland. So let's go through a couple of the categories that he's very high in. Total points pass blocking, he's second. This is out of 28 offensive tackles in this draft class. Total points overall, he's second. Rating while pass blocking is a 99 out of, I think, 99. He's one of only four to hit that mark, along with Amarius Mims and Joe Alt and Patrick Paul. In run blocking, he has a 95 out of 99. He's fifth. Overall, fourth. It's Amarius Mims, Javon Foster, Jordan Morgan, Delmar Glaze, and then Joe Alt. Blown block percentage when pass blocking, he's the fourth lowest. Blown blocks when run blocking, he's the second lowest, ahead of, or behind only Jordan Morgan. I think the only real negative here is one of the other positives, and that is when you look at the splits between zone and gap, he's not as good in zone as he is in gap. For example, his gap yards per attempt He's third. He's 27th in zone. So that may be something to keep in the back of your mind, but still, very, very good in a lot of different categories. When he was run behind, what percentage of the time was he run behind? 39%. That's second highest. Some other names to keep an eye on. Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame. Six times he was in the top five. Javon Foster out of Missouri. Six times he was in the top five. KT Leviston out of KSU. And Tylan Grable out of UCF. Also, Roger Rosengarten was four times, but he's kind of also potential first round, and it wasn't that many times, so he might not be worth putting on this list. But Delmar Glaze is number one, followed by Blake Fisher, Javon Foster, KT Leviston, and Tylan Grable. On the interior offensive line, there's two guys that stand out, aside from, for example, Jackson Powers Johnson, who I think maybe has the most top five appearances here. But that is Charles Turner III out of LSU and Xavier Gadlin out of Liberty. I said what I said. So total points pass blocking, Turner makes it. Total points run blocking, let's just say Gadlin is number one. Overall, Gadlin is second behind only Kyle Hergel. Using the rating system, which is not cumulative, it's per snap. In pass blocking, Charles Turner is fourth. Run blocking, Charles Turner is fourth, and Gadlin is third. Overall, out of 99, Charles Turner is a 97. He's fifth. Blown blocks, pass blocking, and this is out of, by the way, 43 interior offensive linemen. Charles Turner is the fourth lowest. Run blocking, blown blocks, Gadlin, fourth lowest. So you can kind of see the divide here. Gadlin is a top run blocker. Charles Turner III is a top pass blocker. So you kind of have an idea which way we should be glancing, perhaps. However, when you look at zone yards per attempt, so this is still rushing, but in zone schemes, yards per attempt, Gadlin is number one. I'm just saying, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Positive play percentage. In zone, Charles Turner is number one. Gadlin is number three. Positive play percentage when run behind, Charles Turner is number one. Gadlin is number three. EPA per attempt when run behind, Charles Turner is number two. Gadlin is number five. So Turner, I think, has a little bit of an edge here, but still, Gadlin pops up as a top five guy a ton. Charles Turner right now is consensus 270. Gadlin out of Liberty, 352. Plenty of opportunity to grab these guys. Interior defensive line, as we switch to the other side. Not super surprisingly, Byron Murphy and Jerzon Newton are near the top. I'm going to remove those guys. After that, the guy that shows up, I believe, the most is Darius Robinson out of Missouri. Now, I'm slightly skeptical, only because he was primarily used, or at least compared to these guys, largely used as an edge rusher, so some of his pass rush stats are a little bit higher. But I will mention that, although, again, I think he's a potential first-rounder. Then there are two other second-round guys. Braden Fisk is at or near the top of a lot of these lists. It is 7 different times he's in the top five. And Michael Hall is also relatively high on a lot of these lists. However, for the sake of being interesting, a little bit more of a deep dive, the only other guy that shows up is another guy that might be somewhat of an edge rusher, but who cares? We're going to do it anyways. It's a man by the name of Jamri Croma out of James Madison. Again, probably inflated because he's considered an edge rusher by a lot of different people, but he sits at 353 on the consensus board. In fact, he's one spot behind Xavier Gadlin. But if you're not interested in that, I mean, it's really just the first and second round. I would say Braden Fisk, and I'm a little bit biased because I do really like Braden Fisk, but that would be the guy that I'd be most excited about. Otherwise, Darius Robinson certainly is intriguing. I've been sort of anti-Darius Robinson, but only because I watched him purely as an edge rusher, and I don't think he is an edge rusher. At least I can't make it work mentally. I've been trying to come around to Darius Robinson because I think it's possible the Packers could draft him in the first round. In fact, I know it's possible. So I'm trying to brace myself for that a little bit. But nothing massively exciting here. It's just first and second round guys for the most part. And like I said, also Jerzon Newton and and Byron Murphy were pretty dominant in these categories. Edge rushers, if we remove the top guys, which in this case are really just Chop Robinson and Latu, we've got presumed second-round pick, second, third-ish round pick, Adisa Isaac out of Penn State. And then a little bit more of a deep dive, Muhammad Kamara. So a couple areas where he shows up. First of all, sack EPA, negative numbers are better. He ranks fourth with a negative 24.6 EPA. Total EPA for him is a negative 31.6. He's fifth overall. Pressure percentage, 20% for Muhammad Kamara. That ranks fifth. When you look at pressure percentage plus or minus expectations, he's second with 12%. If you look at true pressure rate, which they define as pressure rate that isolates straight dropbacks, which are more likely to be similar across situations, this removes RPOs, play actions, and screens, he is third. He has a true pressure rate of 25%. His RAS, by the way, is a 7.99, so technically it's in the sevens, but you can round that bad boy up to an 8 and I'll say he's fine. And really, it's just his size that ends up being very poor. He's 6'1", 248, but he has elite speed, great explosion, and okay agility. It's just, again, the size was the one thing that got knocked as far as RAS. Linebackers, there's really nothing here. Jeremiah Trotter and Edrin Cooper are the two guys whose names really pop up quite a bit. Obviously, those are pretty well-known names. The only other guy that shows up a decent chunk, which is four times, which isn't a ton, but whatever. It's more than all the other guys that we've heard of that don't show up four times. But David Ogwogbu out of Houston. But positive play percentage in man coverage. He is second behind Curtis Jacobs. He's third in positive coverage percentage total. So positive play percentage while in coverage, he's third behind Jacoby Windman and Curtis Jacobs. If we go over to pressure, blitz percentage, he's number one. He blitzes more than anybody else. I didn't put that as one of the things he's the top of because it's not actually that, it's not about his value, but it is an interesting stat. But then also tackling, the third least broken plus missed tackle percentage, David Ogwogbu, ahead of or behind only Easton Gibbs and Jacoby Windman. And then lastly, the ATD, adjusted tackle depth plus. So it's, you know, how far behind the line or whatever compared to expectation was the person tackled. He is second behind only Edgerrin Cooper. So somebody else to keep an eye on. David Ogwogbu out of Houston. Currently consensus 358 on the consensus big board. At corner, we've got quite a few individuals to talk about here. The first of which is cornerback Cam Hart out of Notre Dame. First of all, he is 6'2", 207-ish. Actually, let me get the official here. He has a 9 RAS, so that's a bonus. He is 6'3", 202 pounds, so even better. Out of, we got, 50 different corners here. He was top 5 6 different times. Kamal Haddon out of Tennessee, 5 different times he was in the top 5. He has a 7.48 RAS. And at consensus pick 223, it's not as though that would be disqualifying for any reason whatsoever. Cam Hart is sitting at consensus 110. So, you know, within range starting probably round 3, maybe even round 2, considering friggin' what the Packers did last year. Somebody that I'm not as worried about, I'm kind of happy about it because I really was not a huge fan of theirs, but they showed up a ton, is Kamari Lassiter, cornerback out of Georgia. The reason I say that is he's probably a relatively, supposedly early second round prospect. He had a 6.24 RAS. Fingers crossed that the Packers just are not massively interested in Lassiter as early as he's about to go. But that brings us to maybe the most intriguing process, maybe of this whole thing. Considering we're talking DB, which our defensive coordinator is a DB coach, cornerback coach, who came from Boston College. There's another corner who showed up on this list 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, who went to Boston College and has a 8.96 RAS, 6'1", 185 pounds. Really, one of his only knocks is that he's 185, which isn't even that small, to be honest. And that's Elijah Jones. If we look at the overall rating, again, the thing out of 99 in coverage, he is the third highest behind Cam Hart and Dwight McLaughlin. If you look at overall their ratings out of 99, there are three corners with a grade of 99, Terrion Arnold, Nate Wiggins, and Elijah Jones. By the way, and again, this did not go into how many times they were top five because it's not a quality thing, but it is interesting to know, percentage of the time playing man coverage, Nate Wiggins, Cam Hart, another guy to keep an eye on, Daquan Hardy, Johnny Dixon, number five, Elijah Jones. Not surprisingly, he went to Boston College, but still. Total EPA, -21.9, second highest, or lowest, I guess, in this case, behind only Quinyon Mitchell. EPA per target, second best behind only Cam Hart. Deserved catch rate, Elijah Jones, third lowest. So deserved catch rate essentially is we're looking at how many times a cornerback gave up a catch, but we're also not going to give you credit if they drop the ball or if it's overthrown or whatever. In other words, that should have been a catch. How often does SIS look and say, yeah, that should have been a catch because you suck? 46% of the time for Elijah Jones, which is the third lowest. Positive play percentage. How often, when he's targeted, does it end up being a positive play? 22% of the time, third lowest. How many yards does he give up per snap in zone? The only one with zero is Elijah Jones. Positive plays in zone, Elijah Jones is number one, 11%. Now, he's not as good in man, but still, we're talking like maybe the best zone corner in here who has a lot of man experience. So I think Cam Hart and Elijah Jones absolutely are guys to keep an eye on. Outside shot at looking at Kamal Hayden, by the way, out of Tennessee. And that leaves us finally with safety. I'm going to be honest, this one's my favorite because every single one of these guys that's left on this list, and it's crazy how many times they must be top five in like every category. First of all, Tyler Newbin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times he's in the top five out of however many categories, I don't know. I didn't count, but it's freaking crazy. That's a lot. But let's go ahead and remove Tyler Newbin. We know his name. I think most of us like him. I know his RAS wasn't good. I like Tyler Newbin. I'm on record saying if we take him in the first round, I'm not going to be mad. You can say that's not a good value. That's fine. Certainly would be happy based on if he's second round, whatever. But I like him. But still, let's get him off here. Aside from that, here is a list of guys that showed up. I mean, I guess this is only three times I'll take him off, but I want to say his name anyways. Let me just give you the list. Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Malik Mustafa, Sione Vaki, Trey Taylor, and Tyke Smith. Most of these guys are guys that I liked based on, first of all, just watching them play, but second of all, these are the guys that are good compliments for the Green Bay Packers. They're hitters, man. That's what they are. They're tacklers. They're hitters. They're freaking killers. Let's get rid of a couple of them, though, because they don't show up necessarily enough, especially since some of these guys show up so many times. We'll get rid of Javon Bullard. I'll get rid of Evan Williams on top of that four times. Vaki is also four times. I'll get rid of him. But these three are ridiculous. Tyke Smith out of Georgia. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. And yes, this is a good fit. Trey Taylor, who's very kind of far down the list, but I think a lot of Packer fans have latched onto him, myself included. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times he's in the top five. And then Malik Mustafa, who I like, not love, but you absolutely understand the physicality. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times he's in the top five. Let's go through a couple of these just so we can see. There are 30 safeties, by the way. Apparently some of them just show up never. All right, ratings while in coverage. Tyke Smith is second. Oladapo's third. Not on the list a lot, but I'll give the nod to Oladapo. Tyler Newbin fourth. Eric Johnson fifth. Rating while in run defense, Tyke Smith, number one. Malik Mustafa, number two. Trey Taylor, number three. That surprises nobody. I really don't think it surprises. And I like all three of them. I think Tyke Smith would be fantastic. Mustafa, again, lukewarm, but if you want like an okay guy that can just do that job and just hit people, I think he'd be great for it. Total, Tyke Smith, number one, with a 99. Trey Taylor, number two, 97. Oladapo, 96. Evan Williams, 94. Malik Mustafa, 93. So that's the rating 50 out of 99. Just their proprietary, like, how good are you? Whatever. Some stats not necessarily having anything to do with the top five, but just for our own, just so we know. Slot usage, Tyke Smith is the second highest, 74%. In the box percentage, Jaden Hicks, who, again, I'm not a huge fan of, but he's one of those guys. Bo Braid, who I do like, 33%. Cole Bishop, who I like, 32%. Sione Vaki, 26%. And then Trey Taylor, 26%. Blitz percentage, Tyke Smith is second. And then we get to actual quality. How good are you? Pressure percentages. In the top five, Trey Taylor, who is fifth, 50% pressure rate. Sack rate. What percentage of the time when you pressure do you actually sack the quarterback? Trey Taylor is number one, 33%. Yards per target in coverage. Tyke Smith third. The great thing about Tyke Smith, and you know, a lot of these guys are really good at stuff. Trey Taylor's fourth, Malik Mustafa's fifth. But I mean, the cool thing is a lot of these are coverage stats. I look at Trey Taylor and I'm like, you know, I don't know what he can do in coverage, but this dude will kill some people. And granted, he plays for a smaller school, but Tyke Smith doesn't. He plays at Georgia. And you look at him and say, I think he'd be a good strong safety. And I'm telling you, he's dominating all the coverage statistics. He also has four interceptions and zero dropped interceptions. Just saying. EPA per target, Trey Taylor, number one, ahead of Tyler Newbin. Malik Mustafa comes in fourth, Tyke Smith fifth. All of them are negative. In other words, when you throw at me, it's going to be bad for you. Negative 0.5 for Tyke Smith, negative 0.57 for Malik Mustafa, negative 0.75 when you target Trey Taylor. Positive play percentage, again, what percentage of the time is it positive when you throw at me? Tyke Smith, 31%, is fifth. Malik Mustafa, just 25%, he's third. Tyler Newbin, number one, 20%. Deserved catch rate, Malik Mustafa ranks fourth, Trey Taylor fifth. Yards per target in man coverage, Trey Taylor is third, Malik Mustafa fourth, Trey Taylor fifth. Positive play percentage in man coverage, Malik Mustafa number one, Trey Taylor number two. These are man coverage guys. By the way, Cole Bishop four, Tyler Newbin five, Kalen Bullock third. I mean, this is written in stone, man. How many times did I say Jackson Turner's name? How many times did I say Oladapo's name? How many times did I say Miller Bradford or Thomas Harper or Jalen Simpson or Imani Johnson or Alex Johnson or Dejon Anthony or even Bo Braid, who I like? I mean, there's so many guys. None of them crack the top. Cam Kitchens. How many times did I say that guy's name? I mean, he was a couple times in there that I just didn't say it, but maybe twice he was top five. I mean, and again, if you want to discount Trey Taylor because he's a smaller school, fine. But you can't do that with Tyke Smith. Even in positive play percentage in man, he wasn't top five. He was sixth. I mean, if you already liked these guys, like them more. If you didn't, start liking them. And I think Tyke Smith, there's really not a lot of excuse. He doesn't have an elite RAS at 7.43, but let's see, where is he expected to get drafted? He's 126. We're talking about possibly a fourth round pick. And he runs a 4.46. I mean, the only real negatives is that he's 5'10". He's 202, so he's not small. He's just a little shorter. And his short shuttle was slow. But, I mean, overall, it was poor size, good explosion, okay agility, and great speed. But, again, you're going to give me that in the fourth round. Or how about Trey Taylor? He's got a 9.33 RAS. So we can talk about small school, but he's got the agility. He's 6', 213 pounds with great agility, good speed, good explosion. He's consensus 213. He's a seventh round pick, maybe. And Malik Mustafa has an almost similar, almost identical RAS at a 939. He's similarly to Tyke Smith, he's 5'10, which is really his only knock, but he's still 209 pounds. He's a big, thick dude, and he looks like it when he goes out and plays. He's a short, broad fella, but he's got okay size, good speed, and elite explosion. He's consensus 129. So right around Tyke Smith. In fact, it's just three spots behind him. Now, would I take Tyke Smith over Malik Mustafa? Probably. But either way, you give me either of these guys in the fourth round, maybe throw in a Trey Taylor kicker in the seventh. Bro, come on now. Come on now. Anyways, I should probably stop and get this posted for you as a little bonus episode. I will leave it at that. I'll talk to y'all later. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
This is the Zach Tom Rule bonus episode. That's what she said. Boom. Roasted brother in still my prime.